Okay, we're going to look at another issue now where we're going to look at the Dáil, where a motion on the Citizens Assembly report on biodiversity was brought by Green Party TD Brian Leddin, who's the chair of the Oireachtas Environment and Climate Action Committee. Now, Orla, this time last year, the Citizens Assembly published their final report on biodiversity, and over the previous year, I think 99 randomly selected citizens heard from 80 experts before voting on 159 recommendations. What was today's motion about?
Yeah, so basically, over the last few months, the Oireachtas Climate Change Committee has been looking at the recommendations of the Citizens Assembly report and whether or not to action those, I suppose. And they themselves have made 80 or so recommendations of their own. I suppose it's largely in line with what the Citizens Assembly recommended. A lot of the same things. They're going to consider a referendum on whether or not to give nature protected status. That has happened in some other countries like New Zealand and South America, where, you know, rights are bestowed upon, say, rivers and trees and mountains, and if it's enshrined in the constitution, the government has to act on that and take, you know, measures to protect nature. So basically, they've said now they're going to consider these recommendations and hopefully put them into action. We had the government itself that launched the National Biodiversity Action Plan in January on foot of the Oireachtas Committee's recommendations and the Citizens Assembly recommendations. So that includes 194 actions. So that would include the expansion of national parks, strategic targeting of invasive species, and the exploration of formally recognising those rights of nature. So the government has committed over €3 billion in a so-called Climate and Nature Fund. So now I suppose that they have committed to doing certain things. It's up to the government, I suppose, to see if and how they implement them in the coming months and years. That plan is from last year up to 2030. So they have 6 years now to make all of this happen.
All right. Michael Fitzmaurice, The restoration of certain natural habitats, the preservation of other natural habitats. What is the key lever that government could pull in order to get stakeholders on board and achieve some of the recommendations that are laid out in this Citizens Assembly report on biodiversity?
Well, the first thing you don't do anyhow is be in Brussels and bring in a nature restoration or try to bring it in. Thankfully, there's other countries blocking it at the moment. And a lot of our MEPs, not all of them in fairness, leave, you know, the agricultural sector in very problematic in certain parts of the country. Let's go back and look at this. You know, you hear the story all the time of the loss. Does anyone tell the story that from the 1st of January 2023, that out of the 10 or 11 million acres we have in this country, that 1 in 10 acres under the new BIS scheme has been put aside for space for nature? Does anyone give the farmers of this country the credit for doing that? Does anyone give the credit that over the last number of years, and bear in mind, where has a lot of biodiversity been lost? It has been lost in the 80s when the EU decided to give grants to Irish farmers to knock every ditch and every hedge because they said our fields were too small. And now we're doing the full 360 degree.
I suppose, but Michael Fitzmaurice, if the data says that that was the wrong thing to do and there is available help in order to reverse some of the damage when that damage becomes clear, isn't the right thing to do to change policy?
Well, certainly the wrong thing to do would be rewetting agricultural land. I think that you have to understand, and I would be very opposed to a referendum giving nature rights, because we have property rights in this country. And the consequences, listen, be very clear on this. Farmers farm the land in this country, and if they make a mistake, it hurts them. Have a look at what right around, and I drove from Dublin today.
Well can I just...
Dublin today, and if you looked around the country, and thank God it was a fairly fine day, and you look around the country, and I saw the greenery, I saw all the biodiversity, I saw all the hedgerows that's in every field, and I just said to myself, isn't it alarming that every one of those hedgerows is actually not included in our carbon sequestration targets or our figures.
But can I put it to you, Michael Fitzmaurice, before I go to the rest of the panellists, that it's not just on the farmer if the farmer makes a mistake. If the farmer pollutes a water course near that farm, it's not just on the farmer. If a number of people in the country don't meet certain targets, it's the country that pays the fines. If water is polluted, the cost of purifying that water goes up.
Yeah.
The Water Framework Directive fines will be imposed on the country.
Yeah.
So the consequences won't necessarily be for the person who has made the mistake.
But in case you don't know, that a lot of rural areas, great communities do their own group water schemes. They make sure that their source is protected. And in fairness to most, in every case, no matter whether it's in city or the countryside, you will always get someone that will do something wrong. But in fairness to 99% of the farmers, they do an awful lot of good
right.
that needs to be recognised rather than given out about them.
Okay, I'll come back to you on that. You mentioned Michael Fitzmaurice there mentioned MEPs, Irish MEPs, and how they voted on the Nature Restoration Law. It should be said that Fine Gael MEPs and Fianna Fáil MEPs voted in favour of the Nature Restoration Law. Chris McManus, I think you voted against it. But Barry Andrews, first of all, I suppose, to give you the opportunity first to answer Michael Fitzmaurice, why did you vote in favour of it if, in his view, it's harmful to Irish interests?
Well, I mean, you know, the evidence that was heard at the Citizens' Assembly was very compelling. In fact, it was almost upsetting. The loss of biodiversity in this country since the 1980s, actually. We had 500 pristine rivers that time. Now we have 32. We've lost species. There's just been an incredible reversing of biodiversity in this country over the last four decades. And what I agree with Michael about is that farmers, you know, have done what was asked of them for the most part. When quotas were abandoned, you had an intensification, particularly of dairy, and that's led to a serious degradation of our watercourse, our freshwater courses in particular. Now, the Biodiversity Citizens Assembly is about a lot more than freshwater, but they concluded that 60% of that damage is attributable to agriculture, the rest to sewage and to industrial emissions and other things. But these are realities that we cannot avoid. And, you know, I was up with farmers in North Dublin. There are farmers in my constituency, and they are really under terrible pressure because of the amount of rain we've had. They haven't been able to put crops in the field, haven't been able to harvest. There's going to lead to really, really a bad season for them. And they recognise that this is due to climate change and, of course, biodiversity loss is feeding into that. So, look, it's not a farmers versus environmentalist issue. And unfortunately, the way it's portrayed or characterised sometimes would lead you to think that that's the case. I fundamentally don't agree with that. I voted for Nature Restoration Law because we have to take this seriously. And I'm really, what really upsets me about it is that we're much less likely in the next Parliament to have anything that is even remotely as progressive as the Nature Restoration Law that's been voted down by Sinn Féin and other parties.
All right, Chris McManus, you voted against it. There was some difference of opinion within your own party of it. Your colleague, Senator Lynn Boyden, welcomed the passage of the Nature Restoration Law, but you voted against it. What Barry Andrews has said there about, you know, the benefits of it, they weren't enough to sell it to you.
No, they weren't, and the position I articulated at the time and I voted on was the party's position. I think the first thing we need to do is hark back to the report of 12 months ago from the Citizens' Assembly, and they were highly critical at that time of government inaction. And their first three recommendations were regards to that there needs to be prompt and urgent action, that there'd been a failure to implement national and EU law, and that ambition need to be increased alongside with funding. Now, I talk to farmers in the Northwest quite a lot. The issue of funding is, in the first instance, they want to be part of the solution regarding the issue of biodiversity. And they get actually quite annoyed when there's this portrayal of those who want to protect the environment and the farming community by being diametrically opposed. And they get very much annoyed at that. But at the same time, the reality for them is that they are again being asked to do more for less. It always seems to be that there's added admin, added bureaucracy added on top of them. And many of these are small family farms with maybe in some instances part-time farmers, you know, and farmers cannot be collateral damaged.
Do you object to the aims of the process?
The aims of the process in what regards?
As in, do you object to the aims of the Nature Restoration Law, or is it just what you view as the lack of help given to farmers to get them there?
I don't think any of us in our right mind are against addressing the issue of biodiversity. That goes without saying. And as I said already, farmers want to be part of that process. But as I said, too often they feel that they're, again, as I said, being asked to do more for less. So it comes back to, yes, the issue of assistance, because an awful lot of family farmers are under severe pressure. They don't see a steady income coming
in. I'm going to go back to microphone farmers, but I just want, what does that assistance look like? So what conditions would have been in place? Well, what assistance would have been available you to vote in favour of this if you agree with all the aims of the law?
Well, what there should have been after the interinstitutional discussions was some indication in regards to where funding was going to come from, and there wasn't. The can was kicked down the road at an EU level. Here in Ireland, in our alternative budget, Sinn Féin wanted to set aside funding we proposed funding for a nature restoration fund. So, like, the realities of it is that we, you know, the farming community need to be able to see that there is going to be financial assistance, because all they want is to be able to maintain their livelihood and something to hand on to the next generation.
I'll come back to you, Barry Andrews, on this in a moment, because I know you want to get in on it. Michael Fitzmaurice, can I ask you, did you agree with the aims of the Nature Restoration Law, or is it, would you agree with Chris McManus's analysis that the aims are all very well and good, but how you get there is a question?
First of all, the Nature Restoration Law, if you read the law itself, would be detrimental to agriculture. Agricultural drained land, and Chris would know what I'm talking about because he comes from, he's familiar with that. The reality of it is, and this is the facts, Cormac, it's not Michael Fitzmaurice, why did a minister in our government come out on Kerry Radio and make it very clear that what the MEPs were doing was wrong, and this minister is trying to stop flooding? Why has the Dutch, why has the Italians, why has four or five countries said...
Well, maybe the answer for that is because they've been lobbied by farmers.
No. They have come out and they have said this would be detrimental to us. What we were looking for, and this is very reasonable, and I cannot understand why it wasn't given under Article 4142, and under... I think it's nine something.
The question I asked, voluntary
put in for farmers. Everyone was promising everything, but the word voluntary. We have no problem with the state land if they want to re-wet it. But we do not want the farmers where Chris is from and where I am from, where 5 acres or 6 or 10 acres were reclaimed, going back the years that put the third leg in the stool to keep that family viable in those areas. We do not want that taken from them. But one thing, what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm coming.
10% of the land of this country since last year has been put aside by the good farmers of this country for nature and for biodiversity. Right, okay. And I think we should salute them.
Barry Andrews.
Sorry, just want to get back to what Chris had to say about why he voted against it. Sinn Féin welcomed a greener version of the Nature Restoration Law in 2023 because, and I quote, a balance has been struck that works for all stakeholders. And they attributed their support for the Nature Restoration Law to the inclusion of a Nature Restoration Fund and compensation schemes for farmers. Now, the reason they have changed their policy on this is the same reason those member states have changed their policy in the Nature Restoration Law, because of lobbying, because of protests, and because an election is coming. It's naked populism, it's naked electoralism, and it has nothing whatsoever to do with the concern for small farmers or anything to do with the biodiversity loss, and that is the reality.
And do you think Michael Fitzmaurice is coming from the same perspective?
Michael Fitzmaurice isn't voting in the European Parliament.
Sinn Féin is voting in the European Parliament. He's against the nature restoration.
He's against the nature restoration. But like, we have to tackle the loss of biodiversity. I mean, it has to be taken seriously. And I don't think, you know, Michael is suggesting that this can all be done some other way. I mean, these are realities. We heard from hundreds of experts in the Citizens' Assembly about the nature of biodiversity loss. We know we're the only country left in the European Union looking for an extension of the derogation on nitrates.
Chris McManus, the government is already off its own bat setting up a nature fund. The exact title of it escapes me, but a kind of a nature investment fund. There are a numbers of the National Biodiversity Action Plan has a number of EU fund headings laid out in the action plan showing how it's going to be financed. So why do you doubt that the money is going to be there if that's the only reason that you voted against it?
Well, in the first instance, let's be clear about this. The government's commitment to establish an investment fund for infrastructure and for climate and nature is welcome in principle. But the reality of it is it won't be available in the lifetime of this government, nor anytime soon. So it's setting targets that are just going to be very difficult to deliver. And the reality is that it's somewhat ill-defined and obscure. And there's no decisiveness from this government. They're talking about it may come into play in 2026.
But how do you say there's no decisiveness from the government when you've changed your own stance on the nature restoration law?
Hold on. As I said, the important thing is we are in favour of addressing the biodiversity crisis that we have. But the reality is if we want to work in partnership with the agri community in this country, that means we have to be able to assist them with funding.
Including the rewetting of peatlands.
The funding seems to be at this time neither coming from Europe or is not available this government.
So if the funding was available, you'd be in favour of rewetting lands and on all of those things, peatland restoration, rewetting the lands, the peatlands.
We have said from the start, and we actually put forward amendments in nature restoration law out in Brussels, that any activities of any regards have to be voluntary, not mandatory. Right. Let's come back to the very basic core of my issue is that there is neither funding available from Brussels, nor at this time is there funding available from Dublin. And that is the kernel of the problem.
You're paying
for the agri community that I represent. And I'll make no apologies for articulating the issues that I hear as I walk up and down the roads of Midlands Northwest.
Right. Lynn Boylan welcomed the nature restoration law. So, I mean, Sinn Féin are speaking out of both.
I just want to bring Michael McFarlane.
I would want to put something to you, though, Michael Fitzmaurice. Going back to the earlier point, people can be brought along, and the measures they ask to carry out could be framed as voluntary, but the consequences won't be voluntary for the country. If a fine is levied on Ireland, people won't have a choice in paying those fines.
Well,
so, is there not at least some level of compulsion that has to be in the hand of the state to avoid that?
Just first of all, get a few things clear. There was no budget, and Chris is right in that, because Denmark said that they wouldn't support it if there was going to be more money having to be put into it. Second of all, you must remember a few things, and the guys will tell you better than I know, that the likes of the cap budget, there is more teeth biting at it because more countries are in. And that budget has got smaller and smaller with more demands on farmers.
All right, hang on a second. It's not correct to say that there's no budget, because the Multiannual Financial Framework 2021 to 2027 lays out the ambition to provide EU annual spending on biodiversity objectives with 7.5% in 2024, 10% in 2026 is what I'm saying.
No, just be clear, in fairness, and the guys will back me up on this, it was made clear that under the CAP budget, there would be no funding allocated towards CAP for the nature restoration law. And I stand with anyone to be corrected on that. Second of all, there was one thing that the farming community was looking for. And bear in mind, just listen to this, like, even though you think that we don't believe in all in biodiversity, the likes of us in the TCCA have been involved in 6,000 hectares where we worked together with the likes of the national parks in rewetting.
This is the Turf Cutters and Contractors Association.
Rewetting of raised bog has taken place in 6,000 hectares. But it was done in a working relationship? And why, oh why, when I put a motion in the Dáil for the Irish government, who are still lobbying for this piece of legislation to be brought in Europe, in actual fact, it is damnable that Minister Ryan called other countries that were opposing it far right, if you don't mind. Why, oh why, when I brought a motion in the Dáil, where I put in the word voluntary, that no farmer would be forced to do it, that the word voluntary would be put into the document, the government wouldn't support it. Right. Isn't there something worrying about that?
All right. Orla Ryan, the debate, the upcoming European election debate, and even the debate closer to home, is becoming more European. It's dividing along the lines of farmers versus Greens. It's familiar territory.
It is indeed. And Brian Leddon in the Dáil today made a point of saying that the Oireachtas Committee was unanimously of the view that they need to protect farmers and farm livelihoods. And he said he believed they could do that while restoring biodiversity. But I suppose that remains to be seen in the long run if they can bridge that gap, because it has very much become farmers versus climate change activists. And it's more complicated than that. But there seems to have been a binary line drawn there.
OK, we're going to go for a couple of listener messages here. Colm, I don't know where Michael saw the hedgerows with the acre scheme. Every hedgerow in the country is cut to the clay. A pure disgrace, is James in Tip. Somebody by WhatsApp.
Call down with me and I'll give him a lift it up.
All right, there's an offer from James in Tip. Kyle on WhatsApp says, fishing in my local lake in Leitrim has all been downhill since the 1980s. Greatly fear it'll turn into a Loch Ness type situation. That's in reference to the pollution in Loch Ness. And more biodiversity is lost through urban development and roads than through farming, says a listener in Offaly.